شريعة بعد شريعة أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله الكريم ونحن لا ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين It is a great bounty of Allah تبارك وتعالى that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has blessed us with this great occasion of Jumu'ah. Really, this is a bounty which we ought to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, because if we look not very long ago, here in South Africa we had the COVID, and around the world we were not allowed to perform salat with jamaat in the masjid. But once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has offered us another opportunity to perform our salat with jamaat, our salatul Jumu'ah with jamaat. And this is not only restricted to the salatul Jumu'ah, but our five times daily salah as well. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the matter of the believer is truly amazing. If favorable conditions come upon him, then he is grateful, and that is better for him. And if unfavorable conditions come upon him, then he bears patiently, and that is also beneficial for him. And this is only and exclusively for the believer. In the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La in shakartum la azidannakum. If you show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises an increase in whatever bounty you are enjoying. So really we ought to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these occasions. And if we look in Gaza, our brethren in Gaza, our brethren in Somalia, our brethren in Sudan, they don't really have this opportunity of performing the Salatul Jum'ah, the daily Salat, with that ease of mind that we are afforded. So really we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we prepare adequately for the day of Jumu'ah. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi is reported to have said that inna ufan nasi nasiban min al Jumu'ah man intadaraha wa ra'aha min al ams. That the person who will benefit the most from the day of Jumu'ah is that person who will prepare in advance for the day of Jumu'ah. And this is basically an explanation of the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that on the illuminated night of Friday, that is Thursday, then send abundant durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, send abundant durood upon me, upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on the day of Jumu'ah as well, to send durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we also hear that if a person has a saintly elder, he has taken bayat at somebody, he will go by the sheikh for some mashura or some advice on what wazif to read. So here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that the wazifa to read on the day of Friday is abundant durood. And the benefits of durood are manifold. The minimum benefits of durood is one durood, one salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then a person will be elevated 10 times in the hereafter, and he will be rewarded 10 times, and good deeds will be written for him 10 times. So this is the minimum reward that a person will get for reciting one durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the person who will be closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be that person who sends abundant durood upon me. So we should really try and increase our durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And out of gratitude that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bore so much difficulty for us to be people who will enter Jannah the first. We are the last to enter, to come in the dunya, but we will be the first to enter Jannah. And that obviously is on account of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the amount of du'as that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made for the ummah. And related to the topic of qurbani, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made qurbani, and he made qurbani for the ummah as well, for you and I. So we should also thank Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by, in the form of sending durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, related to the months of qurbani and hajj, nobody can mention the months of hajj without mentioning the sacrifices of the Khalilullah and his family, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. When we mention the months of hajj, we have to mention Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. And this is something that our deen teaches us, that we should be thankful of those who came prior to us and those who were a means of benefit for us. For example, our parents, we ought to show gratitude for them. Our ustads, our teachers, etc., we ought to show gratitude for them. And this is in the dua also in the Quran Majid. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا O Allah, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They make dua, the righteous, they make dua. They say, Oh Allah, forgive us and our brethren who have surpassed us in iman. And this, if you look at this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to make this dua in the Quran Majid. But over and above that, look at how Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was concerned about his legacy. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made a special dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says, وَجَعَلْ لِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. And oh Allah, make for me good mention on the ummah who will come thereafter after me. So in other words, we ought to show gratitude to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, of course, who is teaching us this. It is our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So there is no misconception or misunderstanding that na'udhubillah, like some years ago we had somebody who was saying that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned so many times in the Quran and Majid, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam to follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So therefore Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is greater than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Obviously that is wrong, because if we go by that notion, then we have to look at Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned in approximately 29 verses of the Quran and Majid. So he is mentioned more than Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So if you go by that logic, then that doesn't make sense at all. But anyway, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored this request of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took many features of the deen of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and he instructed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam to follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And he says that he is the one who gave us huwa sammakumul muslimin. He is the one who gave us the name of Muslim, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So this was in honor of the dua that he made. And another dua that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made, or rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as a ummah, as a nation. He says Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa wa lam yakun minal musyrikin. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was a nation. A nation meaning that he was a conglomeration of good deeds, a conglomeration of good sifat, of good qualities. This is the description given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And another explanation of ummah, which is given by the mufassirin, they say ummah means muallimun nas al-khair, the person who teaches others good deed. So every single believer in his daily life, he should endeavor to be a person who is teaching others good deeds. Obviously, this applies to us in our daily life, in our families, and obviously those people whom we have influence over, and the people from our communities. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions something really remarkable about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُصْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. That there is an excellent example for you in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and those who were with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So here we understand that in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, there are many lessons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling him an example. He's an exemplary figure. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, if you go into the details of his life, then you see that there are many lessons in his life. But there are two glaring lessons in the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. One was his outstanding iman, that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had very strong and impeccable iman. This was one thing. And then the other that we will look at inshallah is that the exceptional qualities of fatherhood that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam possessed. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, where does his story start? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, after he had left his father and he has left those people who were disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had concern that from here onwards, how will I preserve my legacy? How will my good deeds carry on after I'm gone? So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّ هَبْلِي مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. That, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless me with righteous offspring. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't only bless him with one child, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with two children, who became phenomenal after that. One is of course Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and the other is Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. From Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam comes from there. And from Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, the Bani Israel also come from there. And Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam is known as one of those Anbiya who from his progeny there are many children, many of his children became Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So he made this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what was it that was the burning concern in the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? Is that after I am long gone, this legacy of mine, this legacy of good deeds should continue. It shouldn't end with me and my passing away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala echoes this sentiment in the dua of Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majid, ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of his servants, Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the word servant for Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam because he possessed other sterling qualities, but this quality of servitude was one that was outstanding. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to explain, how was he? Why Allah ta'ala chooses this particular address for Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam? He says, إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. When he called to his Lord in solitude or in a quiet moment, what did he say? Allah ta'ala then calls the dua. He says, رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهْنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُوَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. Oh Allah, in all angles I have become weak. My hair has become grey, my bones have become grey. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, notwithstanding my physical weaknesses, وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُوَائِكَ رَبِّي شَقِيًّا. And there was never a moment, oh Allah, that when I make dua to you, that you turn me empty-handed. Of course, this was a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the lesson is that we should always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if something outwardly seems impossible. But we should turn to Allah ta'ala and make the dua. So he makes this dua. And how to make dua? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي. The reason for his making dua was that he feared that after he has passed on, then this legacy of ilm, this legacy of knowledge, this legacy of nubuwat of Islam will not continue, because he had noticed that those nephews or those relatives of his who are going to be heirs of the works of the Baytul Maqdis, etc., were not going to uphold those religious duties. So then he begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him with a child of his own. This is something that every Muslim should be concerned about, that when we see our children, when we see people around us, and we are not seeing the correct colors. As a matter of fact, Allama Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi, he wrote an entire book when he noticed that his son is not treading the path of knowledge, the path of ilm. So he wrote an entire book for him, guiding him that this is how you should conduct, etc., etc. It's a beautiful book, and it's also available in English. But anyway, he makes this dua, and he mentions the reason why. So then, يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبُ. So that he can inherit from myself, and he can inherit from the family of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. What will he inherit? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then explains to us, what is the inheritance of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the ulama, are the heirs of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. But now, what are they inheriting from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam? He says, they did not leave behind wealth, but what they left behind was deen, what they left behind was knowledge. So this is the inheritance that Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam was concerned. And obviously, ultimately, this is the discussion where Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was concerned that if he passes away, this progeny of mine must not end with my passing away, or this fikr, or this legacy of mine must not end with my passing away. And this should be the concern of every believer, that what is my legacy? There is nothing wrong if a person is earning some wealth, etc., so that his children are taken care of. There's nothing wrong. But over and above that, what will benefit us in the hereafter? And over and above that, what will benefit my children when I am gone, apart from the wealth? Of course, it is important that we have, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a hadith to one sahabi, that it is better for you that you leave some wealth for your children, so that they do not go around there, takafafun and nas, that they go around asking people for wealth. Of course, it is important. But the main thing, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows us that what will benefit us in the hereafter. He says, "The mata ibn Adam in qata anhu amaluhu illa min thalathan." That when the son of Banu Adam, when man passes away, then everything ceases except these three things. These three things continue. And the two things that will benefit the person the most, ilmun yuntafa'u bihi, knowledge from which people will benefit. You taught somebody one masla, you taught somebody some matter of deen, some aspect of deen you taught him. You taught some Quran, you funded some projects, you funded some borehole, etc. And this will benefit a person long after he's gone. But directly, not everybody can have wealth, not everybody can have knowledge. But generally, Allah Ta'ala blesses many people with children. So, waladin salihin yad'ula. A pious child will make dua for you when you're gone. And this child can only make dua for you if you make the proper prior preparation, that you teach him deeni knowledge. That is why Nabi Sassam teaches us that when you are getting married, you make sure you choose the right spouse. He says, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعٍ. A woman is married for four reasons. And one of those reasons is, لِمَالِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِيَحَسَبِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَطْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ لِي صَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. A woman is married for her beauty, for her looks, for her wealth, for her lineage, and for her deen. Which one you should go after? The woman who has deen in her life. If you choose that woman who has deen in her life, then Nabi Sallam then says, taribat yadak. In other words, may you get busy searching for the woman who will be of benefit for you. But over and whilst that is important, that you choose the right woman, you yourself should be a correct suitor as well. You cannot be demanding that you get a good wife, but you yourself are not correct. You yourself have to be correct. Because Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran and Majid in Surah Kaf, that why Allah ta'ala preserved the inheritance of those two youngsters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِيًا. Both their parents were pious. It is not only that it was the woman or the father. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud, Sayyidina Sa'id bin Musayyib, rahimahullah, and radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when they would read salah, they used to tell their children that I'm lengthening this salah, I'm showing you good deeds, so that in hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow my progeny to continue to you. You will see me doing good deeds, and then perhaps you'll take after me and you'll also do good deeds. So it's very important as well, while we're marrying women, looking for women, good women, that we should also be suitors. And the next lesson here from the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is this dua that Sayyidina Ibrahim, the instruction that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam gave to his father. When he noticed that his father obviously was an idol worshipper, so what he said to him was, Ya abati la ta'budi shaytan. My beloved father, do not worship shaitan. He said this to his father. But look at the address. Ya abad, my beloved father. He did not shout at him, you are not listening, you are this and you are that. Which is very, very much important in the current day situation. That whenever we are addressing our parents, we should address them in the best of manner. Wa bil walidaini ihsana. And be kind to your parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us in the Quran and Majid. And what will happen? What will be the benefits of that? Now, then in the next verse, in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when the son of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, when he became of age where he could run and could help his father, etc., then what was the way or manner in which he addressed his father? What did he say? He says, Ya Abad, the same address Sayyidina Ibrahim used for his father, the same address Ismail alayhi salam used for his father. And he says, Ya Abad, if'al ma tu'mar, when he was instructed to slaughter him and the whole dream, etc. So then Ismail alayhi salam uses the address, Ya Abati, oh my beloved father, if Almatu Umar, you do as you have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ulama writes, the manner in which we will treat our parents is the manner in which our children will treat us. So if we are rude to our parents, if we are uncouth, we don't behave well towards them, then we should expect the same from our children. And the uququl walidain, being disobedient to our parents and not upholding their rights, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pays a person for cash. In this dunya, the punishment of, and in the hereafter as well. And the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delays punishments. But there is a punishment which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person for cash for, which is the disobedience towards parents. Normally we hear of many stories where a person was disobedient to his parents and the same thing was happening to him as well. So this is also something very, very important. And another lesson we learn from the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is that we should do good deeds practically. We should teach our children how to do good deeds practically. It is not merely sufficient to instruct our children. Well, we hear in the Quran and Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, كَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ, command them with salah. Yes, it is very important. But look at how Nabi Sallam basically explains that verse of the Quran and Majid. Nabi Sallam is saying, command your children with salah when they are 7 years, and then when they are 10 years, then be a little bit stern, adopt more measures for them to perform that salah. So it is not sufficient for us to only give orders, go for salah. It is important to show them practically. And we see this in the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, wa yarfa Ibrahim al-qaida min al-bayt wa Ismail, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, with his son, was raising the foundation of the Kaaba with his son. In other words, he was with his son in performing good deeds. So he teaches him, Rabbana taqabbal minna. They were making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do, Allah, accept from us. Of course, the person who is the asal here, the person who is the actual person doing the work was the father. So the child is following suit and is learning from the father. Later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a description of what an exemplary son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam became. And he says about Ismail, kana ya'mur ahlahu bis salati wa zakah. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam used to command his family with salah and with zakah. It was not only these two commandments. In other words, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam became a living example of his father, because he had learned from his father how to do good deeds. And there's a lot more in the lessons that we can learn from the life of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And also very important, it is our duty to make the tarbiyah, the upbringing of our children. Of course, the verse of the Quran Majid, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amnuqu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, save yourself from the fire of Jahannam and your children. Addib ibnaka fa innaka mas'ulun anhu. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala says that teach your children Islamic good manners, cause they will be asked about why they didn't obey you, and you will be asked why you never taught them Islam. So this is something that is very, very important that we ought to adhere to as well. And another thing that is very important, to make dua for the social acceptance of our children. Normally, we take this thing lightly. He said, no, don't worry, these people, they don't like us. These people are not like us. These people are not like that. We take it easy to say things like this. But if you look at the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, then this dua he makes, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ. Oh Allah, I've left some of my progeny in a place that has no provision. Of course, he made for them the dua of sustenance. But the main thing, لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, so that they may uphold your command. And then Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in this very same dua, he says, فَجْعَلْ أَفْدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Oh Allah, make the hearts of people incline towards them. And the hearts of people will incline towards your children if they have proper Islamic upbringing. If they have good akhlaq, they got good mannerisms, then only will the hearts of people incline towards them. And then in the same dua, another lesson we learn, وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And oh Allah, provide for them sustenance. But the first thing, showing us the order and the importance of matters, priorities in the life of a Muslim, is that what he says, لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing is that they should establish salah. And amongst the duas that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made for himself, ربنا, oh Allah, make me, ربي جعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي. Oh Allah, make me amongst those who establish salah, and make my progeny amongst those who also establish salah. So the importance of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general. And then in the Quran al-Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam advised his children with iman, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah ta'ala cites another verse of the Quran, al-Majid, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتُ. Were you present when Yaqub was there? Were you present when Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was instructing his children? What did he tell them about Tawheed? And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, what a great Nabi, what dua he is making. وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. And oh Allah, protect me and my progenies from worshipping idols. Nowadays we'll say, how is this dua important to us? How do we worship idols? When a person is watching soccer, watching any sport, and he's head over heels over the sport, and he's not going for salah, he's worried about more salah, and there's no salah in his life, he's worried about Messi, but his whole life is Messi, then we should ask ourselves that which direction are we actually going to? So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made dua against this, that we do not become also idol worshippers. Idol worship doesn't mean you have to put up an idol there on your wall or something, but it also means that we take so serious sports that we leave out our salah, we leave out our commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to look more like soccer stars than the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, for example. So very, very important. But then together with that, to know that the results are in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. When Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam is passing away, what do they say? وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِي وَيَعْقُوبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِي وَيَعْقُوبُ. They gave them the advice during their lifetime. أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاء. Were you present when they were passing away? In other words, what was they parting advice? That you uphold the commandments of Allah ta'ala. You uphold the deen of Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of all your affairs. So may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to practice on whatever has been said. And obviously to value these days of Dhul Hijjah, Dhul Qadah, and not to forget that next week as well, to find out the masail, those who are doing qurbani, etc., and to fast also. These are very auspicious days to stay away from sin as much as possible, and to also remember that whenever the reward has been multiplied, the gravity of sin also increases. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi.